Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome back to Basketball. I'm Sean Woodley.
And I'm Katie Heindel.
And today's show is, of course, brought to you by Rasheed Wallace, who on this day in 2006 took part in a preseason game for his Detroit Pistons as they took down the Minnesota Timberwolves 101-96 at the Quest Center in Minnesota. It was in Omaha, Nebraska. Unbelievable. I don't know if Rasheed Wallace has ever been back to Omaha, Nebraska here, Katie, but that's cool that he was there one time. What a lucky town to have been graced by the presence of Rasheed Wallace in the preseason one time, no?
Yeah, they probably still talk about it.
I would hope so. I mean, what else? That's like, maybe this is like where Brian Windhorst got his start as well. I know he lives in Omaha famously, constantly commutes to LA for some reason when he could just move to LA and not be in Omaha. Maybe it was Rasheed Wallace walking through town with Minnesota Timberwolves, Kevin Garnett, Troy Hudson, Bracey Wright, other names listed on this sheet here that gave Brian Windhorst the urge to follow LeBron James's career around. I don't know. Hard to say, but very cool. Nice to have Sheed back in our lives. Nice to have the podcast back in our lives, Katie. It has been almost, I guess, 2 months since our last episode, or at least last proper episode. We, of course, had a couple of Patreon shows come out in the meantime. And, of course, the summer specials replaying some of the old hits from the podcast. I can't believe we had 2 months worth of hits. But, hey, Katie, we just churn them on out. It's lovely to be back. Katie, how are you?
I'm good, man. I'm great. It's kind of weird. The last time we talked to people, I was full summer mode, and now I just loaded up on like so many items at the grocery store this morning affiliated with fall spices. And begrudgingly, I have to say this to you, I did it with a little bit of resentment, but I have a stock on, a chicken stock on right now.
Hell yeah.
Because I roasted a chicken and I was like, well, shit, it's time to get back to this. And I love to make a stock. I'd love to make a chicken soup, but I know you're the soup season man. But I was like a bit like, I guess this is where we are, you know? Begrudgingly accepting.
It is indeed where we are. Yeah. I was away over the weekend in a nice little northern cottage near North Bay, Ontario, looking at leaves, taking in the splendor, wearing sweaters. It was just lovely, Katie. I'm in my element again, finally, even though it's been a bit of a mild fall, which I'm sure kind of helps you ease into it all, as opposed to like the stark drop off from 25 to 12 degrees. But I got to say, my sort of gleefulness at the general state of the world has really gone up as October has seeped in the bright fall colors. There's nothing better, Katie, than going to the woods, going for a little hike, and viewing some sort of small water body surrounded by brightly colored fall foliage, like a pond, a creek, a lake with leaves. That's basically the only thing I ever want to do, Katie. I know you are not you're a summer person more so than a fall, but do you appreciate the beauty of the autumn and sort of all the nice things that it does bring in addition to the soups?
Dude, I love fall. My birthday is in this month. And a lot of like special occasions are, I'm not a Halloween freak, but I have to say I've been enjoying how early my street's really been getting spooky. this year. I feel like people are just gung-ho for it. I really like the fall, man. I like that it's been a very mild and sunny fall. October is my time. But I guess I got to say, like, I just have been finding it very difficult to move on from summer this year. But yes, I'm happy.
Well, that's good to hear. And I look forward to all the different soups you plan on making. Since last winter, you know, got a Dutch oven. This is going to be my first full fall and winter with a new Dutch oven. And boy, are the soups going to be hot and heavy beginning probably this week now that I'm back.
You're going to make some bread in that thing?
Oh, I've never made bread in the Dutch oven, but I probably will.
It's easy.
Figure it out.
Super easy. Yeah.
Yeah. I will get on that because boy, do I like a baked good as well. Shout out to our friend Alan Shane Lewis, by the way, who starts season two of the Great Canadian Baking Show on Sunday, paired right with Succession, just the best two shows you could possibly have on a Sunday night. Former and hopefully future guest of the show, Alan Shane Lewis, getting the shout out. Katie, of course, things have changed mightily since last we spoke. It's been 2 months. The news stories in the NBA, entirely different than what they were last time. Ben Simmons, disappointed, unhappy with the Sixers. Kyrie Irving, not getting vaccinated. Weird shit going on with the Nets. All the stuff that's fresh, new stuff that we were definitely not talking about and definitely did not drive us to need to take a break from talking about the same things each week back in August. Those things have just popped up here to brighten the timeline. We're going to talk about those things today with a bit more of a historical lens. And I guess we can kind of use this opportunity, Katie. We talked about it a bit on the Patreon last week, and we did sort of move this direction a little bit near the end of the last season of the podcast, or whatever we're calling it, where we're sort of pivoting away from becoming just like news reactionaries, which felt like kind of the trend we were on in the back part of last year and in the season, and more so taking the big stories in the league, taking not necessarily big stories of the day, just things that we're interested in, and then kind of giving a bit more of a historical lens to it and sort of bringing some research and you know, facts and all that stuff, a little bit more sort of preparation really for the podcast and sort of expanding on these topics that we're interested in a little bit more depth. We've ditched the three segment format. We did that near the end of last year as well, but the main thing that we're going to talk about each week will be the lion's share of the show, and then we have, of course, the fun stuff with the segment we're trying out, the posters of the week and all that good stuff. But today we are going to be talking a lot about like NBA absenteeism in the form of Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons, some historical parallels to look at, although it's hard to find really any sort of precedent for what's going on with both of these guys. But we did our darndest. We're going to talk about sort of just the general vibe around these guys. Is it good that they are, you know, exercising their free will as players, especially in the case of Ben Simmons? Kyrie, I think we're going to agree that the free will to not take the vaccine is a really not good thing to exercise. But we're going to dig into it deeper than just the question of should he get vaccinated or not, because of course he should. That's all coming up on today's show. Before we get to that, though, should just remind everybody that we have a Patreon page. We would love you if you would support it. It's $4 US a month, I think $5.50 Canadian after the conversion. If you want to subscribe to the page, you get into our Discord chat, which we are going to be more active with this year. We, I think, kind of fell into the trap of, oh my God, there are too many group chats to keep track of, and this one just kind of fell by the wayside. We are going to make a more concerted effort to be involved in the Discord this year. We are also going to do monthly mailbags and slash other Patreon type episodes. Last week, we did sort of a summer vacation catch up for the both of us. We did a mascot bracket with Joey Devine on the last Patreon episode as well in September, or August, I guess it was. Either way, lots of good stuff over there. You get access to things like mailbag question asking and access to future events like trivia nights and whatnot too. So please go find the Patreon, patreon.com/abasketball with two H's, and you will be thrown into our wonderful little basketball familia. I've been watching The Sopranos lately, Katie. If Italian words seep in here, it's because of The Sopranos. Blame Pauly Gaultieri. Anyway, let's get to it, Katie. We're going to dig into Ben Simmons, Kyrie Irving, and NBA absenteeism in just 1 second here on basketball?
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh.
Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, Katie, we are here now talking about Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons, the dudes that we just always are talking about, apparently, when you cover the NBA, it's like 90% of the beat at this point. Two very different situations right now, although it's been reported that Ben Simmons, part of the hangup and the delay in him getting through the protocols with the Sixers is also that he is not yet vaccinated. So cool, good stuff there. But you know, the reasons why these guys have been away from their teams are obviously quite different. Ben Simmons holding out from the Sixers, lots of ill will at the end of last year's postseason, kind of getting called out by Joel Embiid, Doc Rivers for his very, very obvious meltdown and inability to dunk basketballs in the postseason against the Hawks. Been a summer long sort of feud there. Lots of different reporting. Ben Simmons hanging out in LA, refusing to answer calls, refusing to accept visitors from the Sixers family. All very complex and holdouty. Kind of the biggest NBA holdout we've seen in a very long time. Kyrie Irving, meanwhile, is out because he refuses to take the vaccine. Lots of different stupid reporting coming out through mouthpieces like Shams Charania about how, oh, he's actually not anti-vaccine. He's anti-vaccine mandate, which is equally a stupid take to being anti-vaccine, but that's fine. You know, who knows where the actual sort of truth lies here when it comes to Kyrie. And he, he's not playing for the Nets this season until he gets the vaccine. They've ruled that he can't be a part-time player. He's not going to play just road games and practice on the road. So there is where we are. That is how we got here, Katie. I guess let's put it to you, Katie. Maybe we start with Kyrie, because that is a really, really kind of unprecedented situation. You know, there have been players who have missed seasons in the past for sort of health, medical reasons, things like that. But, you know, hard to draw parallels for a thing that's taking place in a pandemic, which the likes of which we haven't seen in 100 years. Where are you at with this Kyrie stuff, Katie? Is there any sort of historical examples you want, you're kind of leaning on, drawing from here to maybe sort of inform what could happen here? Or is that kind of all fruitless because of the unprecedented nature of the current times we live in?
I don't think there's any historic examples for this. I mean, we have examples we're going to talk about, but I think with Kyrie specifically, it sucks. It just keeps getting worse. I think any moment you're kind of like, all right, we've sort of like hit the end of this. And, you know, a part of me still thinks the way that Kyrie Irving's brain works is, it feels like, is he'll take extreme pointed interest in something and then be all about that and then kind of gradually taper off and get bored with it and then move on to the next thing without really mentioning what the previous thing was. And I kind of thought that's what would happen with his stance on vaccination. Like, he would, he'll just come out that like, oh yeah, I've been vaccinated for months. Mm-hmm. I just like didn't want to talk about it or something like that. But it's not the case here. That story that you mentioned in The Athletic is a little bit strange. I don't think you can necessarily be a voice for the voiceless when you're someone in Kyrie Irving's position who is actually, I mean, there are such significant and great examples of him doing that and kind of more, you know, meaningfully playing that part. But this just feels like a really weird backpedaling in order to make it more noble. What I think is actually just extremely selfish behavior.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the thing with Kyrie, right? Is he you know, he believes and says a lot of really good things and does a lot of really good things actions wise and donates his time and money and all this stuff. But, you know, he also has a propensity for saying absolutely harebrained bullshit that kind of undercuts a lot of the good that he does. You know, you can't take away from all that he's donated time and sort of voice wise to really important causes. But this specific instance really is doing a lot of work to try to undercut that because it's a global pandemic. People are still dying. I think it's 700,000 Americans have died. I think like the statute of limitations on I need my own information is already well passed. There's plenty of information out there. There's no reason not to get it if you are sort of going to abide by the science, which I guess Kyrie Irving has proven in the past that he doesn't really care. He'll take the science and kind of, you know, interpret it his own way, I suppose. But it is it's disappointing. I'm curious, like, what do you think about the way the Nets have handled this, Katie? Like, they ruled that he can't be a part-time player. I thought they would just let him play the 41 road games because Kyrie Irving playing 41 games is better than Kyrie Irving playing zero games. But do you think, you know, I guess there's like a cynical way to view it, which is like this was like a thing that could be a distraction to the team and like the effectiveness of the team on the floor. There's like the hopefully morally good way to view this where they think, okay, him not getting the vaccine, this is bad. This is not good. This is something that should be not rewarded by getting to play 41 games and a full salary and all this stuff. Where are you at with the way the Nets have handled this entire situation? What do you believe their true intentions to really be here?
Well, first, I want to just say that his argument pretty quickly falls apart. And I think that's what shows me it's not necessarily a real strong stance, even on his behalf. When you look around the world and you look at the fact that, like, you know, over 50% of the world is still not vaccinated. And there are people in countries that would, like, you know, do anything to be able to, like, get a vaccine. And when you're trying to, like, take the stance of, like, you don't agree with vaccine mandates here, it's just, it's an incredibly, like, westernized, it's just more actually an Americanized, I think, way to look at this, which is put, like, really potently ignorant to me. But in terms of what the Nets did, I was surprised, though, like, I will take a little bit of issue with the statement that they put out, which I think was needlessly ambiguous in not naming. And I get it. I get the, like, you can't, as an employer, you can't disclose vaccination status of an employee, in which case this is Kyrie's. They can't say he's vaccinated or not, but you could make reference to, like, the New York state law that you are still vaguely referencing, but just say, you know, the literal thing in the law, which I'm sure says something just like, people must be vaccinated to, like, be in these spaces. And then we can more clearly read between the lines, because I think what we've seen, especially since this has taken off in the NBA, but also just with, like, detractors from, I don't know, like, whether you're strictly anti, like, totally anti-vax and, like, really wild in that direction, or you're kind of, like, towing the line of, like, I need more information. The language really matters. And the semantics of this have been really allowed. There's so much room around it, really. And I think that we wouldn't necessarily be in this position as badly if people were just blunt and direct and, like, spoke of this in medical and scientific terms. I think that's kind of where things have gone awry. So I wish they had been a bit more specific. I was happy to hear that in, what's his name?
Sean Marks?
Yeah, and Sean Marks is, one, I didn't know he was from New Zealand, so the accent threw me a little bit. But in his presser, I think it was a reporter from The Times actually just came out and asked, like, is he vaccinated or not? And he basically was like, he still didn't say yes or no, but he was like, I think it's pretty clear.
Yeah.
Basically that he's not. But I was very heartened that someone actually asked that question. So I don't know, I guess, like, I don't want to be like, good for the Nets, because at this point it's like, actually, you know, this is something that they probably should have done at the beginning of the season. Maybe they're giving a benefit of the doubt. And I was also chatting with some lawyer friends yesterday who are like, this statement's probably ambiguous because it just means that they might be trying to find a loophole in New York state law or New York City law that allows him to come back and like, he can be an exception, basically. So right. I'm not going to pat the Nets on the back until I actually see their commitment to this and how that plays out. But yeah, I feel like that's the bare minimum of what they could do.
Yeah, it'll be very telling if, like, 3 weeks into the season, James Harden, you know, pulls his hamstring and is out. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, Kyrie, you could be a part-time player. That's fine. You know, oh, we have this six-game road trip coming up. Yeah, why not play in that one? Yeah, I'll be cynical about the Nets' handling of it and, you know, kind of unsure of where their moral intentions lie here until we get a little bit more sort of time and you know, room to breathe with it.
I think what might be like less precedented is a team of this kind of makeup, not necessarily like they don't really need Kyrie. Like assuming no. Harden and Durant are both healthy, like they're already sitting in a position where they're like pretty clear contenders for the title.
Yeah. Maybe so, still the favorites.
Yeah. And like, that in itself, that seems like this is like new ground. So maybe that's why there wasn't so much urgency there. Because a part of me is also like, when's the last time Kyrie Irving played a full season of basketball?
Yeah.
With the Cavs? Maybe? Yeah. You know, like it's just, a part of me is also like, I just don't think he wants to play basketball anymore. And that's fine. But like, this is sort of, this is now just like a rich guy being kind of a brat for his own personal entertainment.
Yeah, that's actually an interesting way to kind of lead into Ben Simmons here, Katie, too, because I've been kind of thinking about this and sort of like the law of diminishing returns on hilarious wealth. And like, at what point does the fact that these guys make, you know, so much money that 1 year's salary doesn't really mean much to them in the grand scheme? Like, how is that going to start playing into these types of contract disputes and guys opting to sit out for whatever their reasoning might be, whether they're disgruntled with their team or they don't want to get the vaccine that is protecting people from dying in the very, very deadly global pandemic? You know, there's lots of difference in between options as well, I suppose. But Ben Simmons, his situation is obviously quite different in the way that it's transpired here. He reported kind of unannounced to Sixers camp this week, which I find to be hilarious. Just the vision of him just like showing up to the security desk and being like, hey, I'm here. Someone around that can kind of like show me to my locker or something like that. And no one's ready. It's just like a completely unexpected. The poor security guard at the desk, the calls that you have to make and the sort of confusion of that moment must have been insane. But you know, even though Simmons is with the Sixers now, quote unquote, with them, we don't know when he's going to play. He's got to pass protocols. He hasn't played a game at all. You know, I don't know if he's going to play from day one. It is kind of a different situation, obviously, but similarly unprecedented situation where a dude who has like 4 years left on his contract is agitating for a trade and seems to be threatening, you know, not showing up or kind of dogging it through the season at the very least if he's not traded. What's your read on the Simmons thing, Katie? We've talked about this before, obviously, but obviously many things have happened over the last 2 months. You know, I think there's like maybe one past parallel we can get into here in a second here about Simmons that maybe informs what could happen here. But I'm curious if your read on the situation as it stands today.
It's kind of like Kyrie in the same of the, it to me just shows a real moral like obliviousness. Like you, and I was on Ben's side, honestly, until it's like the reason he can't play after all of that stuff and like showing up unannounced. But now the reason that he can't play is seems like pretty believably that he's just not vaccinated.
Yeah.
Why did you think that you could show up and just like be a part of the team again for any other reason? And then also you neglected to think of that thing specifically. Like that to me shows a more like, I don't know, I don't want to call it, I was going to call it like a moral quagmire, but I feel like it's more like bankruptcy that we're in, that these dudes are kind of just like, they control the narrative, like, are so used to that. And I think that's what we're seeing, that then these instances where they finally get told no. Actually, Michael Grange wrote a pretty good piece about this I read this morning, where it's this sense that like there's a certain subset of people, and usually that has to do with like wealth, you know what I mean? Wealth and fame, and professional athletes fall into that, but basically operating in worlds where they don't really hear no a lot, and they don't necessarily have to fall into what like regular people in society have to, like, the rules that they have to follow. But then when they do, one, yeah, there is something like smugly satisfying about it for people watching. But two, it just helps you clock in a little bit more of like, oh, right, like these people that we really hold up to such a high regard, like oftentimes, like, there's no reason for that.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. So I think, I mean, I don't have much more to say about Ben Simmons because I think we've talked about it a lot. Two, I think, like, I'm very curious to see what happens with the Sixers. It feels even, I don't know, I don't want to say depressing, but it feels kind of weird that after everything, he'll just sort of come back to the team yeah. and operate as is. Because then if you want to even talk about this in terms of basketball, that team hasn't changed at all. It's not gotten better. It's maybe gotten worse because you have all this stuff that you haven't addressed from the summertime. Maybe Ben's going to have a revenge year in his own team. I don't know. But there's like there are a lot of more unanswered questions. But I think the thing that the example I did want to tie this to both of these guys to is Magic Johnson leaving the NBA, announcing his retirement after he tested positive for HIV. And I know it is completely different. And I did see very strange conservative pundits talking about this yesterday on Twitter and making the comparison that like Magic could play with HIV. Like, why?
Oh, my God.
Why are you forcing Kyrie to get vaccinated? And it's like, man, this is just like awful on a lot of levels. So I have to preface, like, it was crazy that I was like, now I need to preface this point with that because people have made those connections. But I will preface with this is obviously completely different from that. But I think when you look at this, not as a work ethic thing, and not as like a rights thing, but it is to me like impossible, I think, not to discount everything that happened to Magic in that span of time, his retirement, you know, announcing a comeback, having to like not come back, coming back again to coach and then play and then retiring again, like, and all the kind of work and I don't know, like out, like really over, like not just disdain, but like fear and like hatred from like, you know, past teammates, players, like the league, like society at large at that time, to discount what all of that did to smooth out some of this like weird, almost like fantasy land groundwork or framework that Simmons and Irving are now operating within. Like there's something about that I don't think, and like this has to do with player autonomy, which I'm not saying like get rid of that. But it's really hard not to look at Magic's absence, which was forced, because he has also come out and said, like, if he knew, you know, in 2018, he said if he knew then what he does now, he wouldn't have retired. Mm-hmm. Because every single comeback that he had or tried to mount a potential comeback was so difficult, right? And was usually just like, you know, in 92, 93 season, he just was like, forget it. Because, yeah, like, all the comments that he was getting from the league, it was just, like, not really worth it. It was, like, it was terrible, you know? And, like, he came to the Lakers as a coach in 93, 94 season. Then he did finally come back and play in 95 and 96. And, like, you also have to consider, like, he was older, right? Like, he was older. He was 32 when he announced his retirement. And then in the entire time he retired, he was receiving what was then, like, really new treatment, you know, probably experimental treatment for a, like, this was still something that was considered a death sentence for people, right? So he had all of that. And then I didn't know, but I learned that, like, when I was researching for this, that he did so much conditioning.
Yeah.
Not in mind with, I'm going to come back to the league. But he was doing it to basically maintain a certain physicality of his body because he didn't want to see his health deteriorate further based on the treatments he was getting and probably just like what you heard about people with HIV AIDS at that time, right? So he did all that. And then he still kind of has an eye on like, I want to come back and play after all of this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just seemed like, one, such an awful roller coaster. I know magic has gone on in his like front office days since to be like, I don't know, I like magic. Kind of a weird character.
Yeah, good like, poster. Yeah.
yeah. And whatever. But like, I just think, yeah, it's just, that is crazy to me though, too, that, you know, you leave the league at 32, you come back at 36, you still come back and are, I think in his first game back, he scored like 19 points. He had 8 rebounds and 10 assists. The Lakers had a record of 22-10 in the games that he played that season. Like, he was still so competitive when he came back that he almost just kind of picked up where he left off. And there is, like, I guess, a conversation to be had for, like, what his career would have leveled up to if he had played those 4 years. But I just think, like, one, in this NBA, that would be so old. But in that NBA, 36 years old, like, ancient. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, just considered ancient. Plus, when you look at, like, all the health shit that he's dealing with at that time, too.
Yeah, plus, he had the entire 1980s in his system, probably. Showtime Lakers lived hard.
A lot of cocaine. Yeah, a lot of cocaine use. When I was also looking up stuff for the story and looking up, like, long-term suspensions, that era, just cocaine. Everybody just getting tossed out. Here and there, like a lot of cocaine suspensions.
Maybe that's not something to laugh about. I'm pretty sure a guy died, and that's what led to the sort of crackdown on it. But in hindsight, there is some humor to it. Yes,
I suppose. Yeah, like you kind of have to look at that with a little bit of a veil of humor. But all I mean, like, again, I'm not trying to stress this as like a work ethic thing. And like what the thing that like Magic had that like I'm not saying that Kyrie and Ben Simmons don't have that. They've shown that they have that in some capacity. But I guess the reason I wanted to use this example is because like that's, if we're talking about like absenteeism, that wasn't a choice for Magic. Yeah. And he tried so hard so many times to come back from that. And a lot of the times the choice was kind of rendered obsolete for him. Like he didn't actually have the luxury of making a choice. And then you've got these two guys that seem to want to make choices, but then when they're sort of put on the line to either for in Kyrie's case to stand up and just say this himself, because again he's just speaking through what like insiders quote, like none of this has come from him yet, and Ben Simmons has just not said anything. So it's kind of like if you want to act a kind of a big game, you really have to back that up. And I just think that's perhaps the comparison that I see here, in that one person tried so hard and had like so much stacked up against him to like make choices that he couldn't always make. And then these guys are kind of just like, I don't know. Maybe this is a work ethic thing. Maybe I am like a real shitty like capitalist. But I there's something in it that just does not... It just doesn't sit quite right with me.
No, I totally get that. I think, you know, the way it is really kind of like the ultimate conclusion of player empowerment, right? And look, I think player empowerment is good. I think the fact that like the NBA draft exists and dudes just get sent to whatever city, you know, deems they're going to take, like select them in the draft, like there should be a counter to that. And like that's where player empowerment and trade demands and sort of contract flexibility comes in. So I have no problem with it. But it does get to a point where it's, you know, and oh God, I don't want to sound like fucking Bill Simmons or something like that, but it does get to a point where it's kind of like player empowerment for player empowerment's sake, almost like Kyrie Irving already has exercised. Like, yeah, I want to go play for the Nets and, you know, do the Nets thing and like that there's and leave the Celtics and leave the Cavs and everything like that. Like there's been no shortage of player empowerment for him. And it does feel like, you know, I guess the way I'd sort of say it is this is a good reminder that while we love the players and all of that stuff, they're still closer to billionaires than they are to regular human beings. And, you know, you have to take the sort of foibles that come with that sort of level of wealth and disconnect from regular society, I suppose. I just sort of, if we're looking at Ben Simmons on the other side of things here in terms of like historical precedents and whatnot, I think, you know, it's hard to find one, honestly, because the NBA's CBA has really changed in recent years to sort of, you know, it's been more restrictive to player movement. It seems like players are on the move all the time, but it really is more restrictive and allows teams to keep guys longer. If you think back to like the 90s, for example, you know, if Shaq didn't want to be in Orlando, he could leave Orlando after three or four seasons and go sign with the Lakers. If Tim Duncan almost left the Spurs after three seasons and winning a championship to go to the Magic. T-Mac with the Raptors after 3 years leaves and goes to the Magic as well. Apparently the Magic are always involved in these strange player things late in the 90s, but like the recent sort of restructuring of the CBA has made it so we don't see this type of thing. And players realize that there's sort of a limit to their leverage. And usually that is in the form of years on contracts. And I think really the only sort of close parallel you can even come up with is Vince Carter and his sort of departure from the Raptors and how that all went down. I mean, he left the Raptors, I believe, with 2.5 years left on his contract. So it wasn't a whole lot of leverage. He basically just showed up. And I think we could see some version of this with Simmons, where he was just like, you know what? I'm not being Vince Carter anymore. Let's play the clip, actually. Our producer Dylan, let's hear the classic Vince Carter clip, which we might be in line for a repeat of in some way. Although, of course, Ben Simmons does not dunk ever.
Is it harder for you to drive now than it was few years back? You used to get to the foul line a lot more. You used to get a lot of dunks inside. Is it?
I don't want to dunk anymore.
Why not?
For what?
Get fouled, go to the free throw line?
You can get up, you can make a layup and get fouled and get a free throw line.
Oh, man. Katie, remember that shit? That sucked. Yeah. But like, that's the kind of only close parallel I could come up with for Ben Simmons here. And I think we could see kind of a similar conclusion, honestly. Like with Simmons, he doesn't have a ton of leverage. There's not really a trade market out there for him. At some point, I wonder if he just kind of does the Vince thing where he kind of leans into just like not trying, does the James Harden thing from last year, which I guess is the other sort of closer comparison, maybe on a lesser sort of degree, but like, does he like dog it enough coming into camp or refuse to get the vaccine long enough coming into camp that it becomes like an active detriment for him to be on the Sixers? And that sort of forces their hand to be like, all right, we just got to like move on from this shit and get whatever we can here, even if it's not the excellent, you know, haul that we've been hoping for, you know, calling every team looking for six pick swaps and the best young player on every team. Like, I don't know. It feels like the Sixers are fucked on this one in a lot of ways. And Simmons now, by showing up, kind of almost has a little bit more control over the situation to kind of force their hand. Do you see similarities to the Vince thing with what Simmons is doing here? And do you foresee a similar conclusion where Ben Simmons is traded for Aaron and Eric Williams, along with Alonzo Mourning, who never reports?
I do see your parallels in terms of gameplay. And I think when Vince Carter was frustrated of being perhaps like preemptively not wanting to be cast as a type, you know, and like that's where he found his most flash. And I think like, obviously the dunk contest plays heavily into that. And I think when he said that, it was probably one, I think it was probably just in the moment and then something he kind of had to stand by, you know, but more so, I think it was like not necessarily wanting to be known as a one dimensional player. Whereas I think Ben Simmons is the opposite problem, which is like, I think he would love to be a one dimensional player and like know what that is for once. Because his entire career, he's been, you know, either like touted or told to be like, oh, this guy's like, you know, the next LeBron. Like he can be everything. And we've yet to really see that. I think it would definitely take some strain and like make his job a lot easier if he had the freedom to just be a one-dimensional player. I don't know that that's going to happen now. I think, you know, again, not to side too heavily with him, but I think he was let down by the Sixers front office. I think to a degree he was kind of let down by his agent. I think he like got into this again without necessarily knowing what the end of this situation was and like what he actually wanted it to be. I don't know that he saw it lasting this long, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know how he could have really seen it lasting this long. This is like something that doesn't really happen. That's also what struck me in looking for other examples for today's show, is that there really aren't, because this is like an entirely new territory. You know, when you said before, like, I think player empowerment, It's not that it's player empowerment for the sake of player empowerment. It's that I think what this shows is that it's still clear that there are certain players who will always have this kind of autonomy to exercise. And this is a not, it's not a common thing within the NBA. And when you kind of look and see even where the NBPA kind of decides to pick and choose of who they'll back and support, that shouldn't be the case there, right? Like that should be just blanket. This is the same. The CBA should hold up the same for everyone. And it doesn't really. So I think that's where maybe my problem with all of this comes about. But I definitely can see the parallels. But again, I do think Ben Simmons would love it if someone just said, can you just dunk? Or can you just do this one thing, please, for one season and we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I look forward to Simmons showing up and doing the inverse Vince. And it's like, I'm only going to dunk anymore. Nothing else. You guys want me to dunk in the playoffs? Fuck it. I'll only dunk even when it's not called for at all, and there are nine guys in the way. We're not going to talk about Ben Simmons or Kyrie Irving next week, I can promise you that, but we'll keep an eye on the story as it transpires and continues to evolve and take its many, many very odious shapes. Well, that'll leave, we'll leave it off there for now, though.
Well, I do have...
Oh, yeah.
No, I do have one hero.
Oh, okay, yeah, what you got?
I do have one hero example of absenteeism, yes. Who I think exercises it in a way that is both sometimes so innocent that you're kind of like, I really see myself in this person, isn't necessarily doing it to be like out to be a martyr or a hero in any capacity, you know? And I think that's Dion Waiters, because the last and greatest two examples of that is obviously the weed gummies on the plane and calling in sick to practice, I think, to go for a ride on a speedboat and then posting pictures of it, which who among us honestly has not called in sick for a job? You either was a shitty job. I'm not saying playing for the Heat was a shitty job, but maybe it was sometimes, or a job in that moment. You're like, you know what? I can't really deal with this today, and has gone and made the gaffe of taking pics, and perhaps you didn't post them. A friend posts them, but it gets out there and it gets back to you. But I think, yeah, this was from the wiki. On December 10th, 2019, Waiters called into work sick before posting a picture of himself on a boat celebrating his 28th birthday on his Instagram page. The Heat announced his suspension 2 days later. It's kind of nice that they waited till after his birthday too, which I like. But yeah, I think Dion Waiters, unsung hero of suspensions and absenteeism in favor of living a rich and joyful life.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, if you're not a superstar and choose to exercise this privilege, we are all on board with it and think it is cool. Yeah, Pat Riley is a freak, but he's a benevolent freak, Katie, I think is the lesson here. He's always mindful of the birthdays of his, estranged players. That feels like the place we can lead this conversation for today. On the other side, we're going to take the Ben Simmons talk and then turn it into our segment we're trying out this week. But we're not going to talk about Ben Simmons at all. We're going to talk about the man who is tasked with potentially dealing Ben Simmons, Daryl Morey, as we bring back one of our go-to segments we're trying out this week. Did blank say this? This week, it is the Daryl Morey edition. Did Daryl Morey say this? We'll run through some quotes from Daryl Morey and a specific, very, very intense kind of freak on the other side when we get to the segment we're trying out this week here on the podcast. All right, Katie, we have reached the segment we're trying out this week. And this week on the podcast, as promised, we are bringing back an old favorite, Did Blank Say This? This is a game where we will conjure up a list of quotes, maybe tweets in the form of Stan Van Gundy. And then one of us quizzes the other on, did this person say this thing or was it somebody else? Today, Katie, I have assembled a list of 10 quotations courtesy of the lovely site Brainy Quotes, which often is the source material for this segment. I've assembled 10 quotes. Five are from Daryl Morey. Five are from Mark Zuckerberg, who just, he's kind of been in the news lately. Facebook broke last week, I suppose. I don't know. Felt like a really sort of similar vibes kind of situation between Maury and Zuckerberg in a lot of ways. And so I have 10 quotes here. I'm going to read them off. You tell me who said what. Did Daryl Morey say each quote? Yes or no. And then we will go from there. Are you ready, Katie, to play Did Daryl Morey Say This?
Yeah, this one might throw my win streak from the last one off because you're not using anything from Speed. and I also want to say, I think you're due. Is this like, will this be the third time in a row you've played this tricking game on me?
I think so.
You're due for one.
Yeah, I think you have to start trying to ruin my day. and the next time we do this.
But yes,
but anyway,
I'm ready.
Let's begin here. Cool. First quote is, quote, the biggest risk is not taking any risk.
Fuck. I'm going to say that's Maury. I just feel like Zuck is a coward. But then Zuck also doesn't write his own speeches anymore, I'm sure. So, yeah, I'll go with Maury.
It is not Daryl Maury. It is Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, who, it was Zach.
Sorry about that, Katie. You're 0-1, which I believe you're already doing worse off than you did when we played this game last.
No, I was 0-1 with Speed.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, I had
was it Speed or who?
Great comeback.
Who were the two people at play? Speed and what?
Who was the villain? Who's the NBA villain we were talking about?
I really have no idea now.
Wow. Well, there go our brains.
Yeah, that's okay. It was months ago. We don't have to remember this stuff. I'm sure producer...
Speed or Sheed. Thank you, Dylan.
thank you, producer Dylan, dropping in. Speed or Sheed. What a good game that was. All right. We continue on here with quotes from these two remarkably and kind of jarringly similar sounding dudes. This next one is, you don't want the second most powerful government on Earth at mad at you if you can avoid it. You don't want the second most powerful government on Earth mad at you if you can avoid it.
That's got to be Maury about China, no?
That is Daryl Maury about China.
but it also could be Zuck about
That's
China.
That's the thing.
So, they, yeah, yeah.
These dudes have global reach in their weirdness.
But Zuck is now like wrangled to the point where he's not allowed to say things like that. Mm-hmm. And Maury, no one's wrangling that guy.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. All right, we have the next one here. This one is, all right, quote, yeah, I definitely tend towards dry, sarcastic British humor. I actually aspire to be British. I'm pasty white as hell.
Oh, no. I'm going to go Zuck.
You're going to go with the wrong response there. That is Daryl Morey. Yeah, talking about how he wishes he could be on Monty Python or something like that.
I guess I didn't know he was like so self-effacing. Interesting.
Uh-huh.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. So you're 1-3.
Jeez.
And yeah. See, I told you. It's troubling mm-hmm. how similar these dudes are in the way they speak. The next one here is, quote, I went to business school because I thought that's where you had to go if you wanted to get rich.
I think, oh man. Fuck. Didn't Zuckerberg go to like fucking Harvard or something? I guess. This sucks, man.
That sigh of despair from you tells me that I have done a good job here. So
yeah,
thank you for the affirmation.
This one's tough, man. I guess I'll go Zuck.
No.
Well, again, that was okay.
You are now
I was on the fence.
1-4.
My gut is all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. I got to say, pretty pleased with myself at this current moment. Let's continue on here to the next one. The quote is, quote, I wear the same outfit or at least a different copy of it almost every day.
That's Zach.
That is Mark Zuckerberg.
Though it could also be Maury, and it's just as depressing for either of them.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to move on to the next quote here. Hold on. I do want to say, I think I'm going to add two bonus quotes to this.
Come on.
Because there's just so many good ones. Yeah, no, I'm adding two. We have 12 we're going through on the fly because there's just too many good ones that I can't not say them. The next quote here is, quote, "The only meat I eat is from animals I have killed myself."
Maury?
That is not Daryl Morey, sadly.
What?
Daryl Morey is a man who goes to the supermarket. Mark Zuckerberg apparently often killing animals himself. Why I'm envisioning this being like squirrels and other backyard creatures, I don't know, but that's where my mind has gone. And I'm frankly horrified.
This is brutal.
Yeah. You're now 2 for 6, Katie.
Jesus.
You have 6 quotes remaining. This next one here is, quote, "That always seemed to be the coolest thing to me. How do you use numbers to predict things? It was like a cool way to use numbers to be better than other people, and I really liked being better than other people."
Maury.
That is Daryl Maury, correct. But with the same sort of derangement that you would expect from Zuckerberg, to be sure. You are 3 for 7. We move on to the next quote. It is, quote, "I could use a Chris Matthews-level speechwriter to script everything I say. That would be good."
Oh God. The Chris Matthews reference is throwing me. Zuck?
That is not Zuck.
What?
That is Daryl Morey. Yeah, that was a trick one. I added that to the list.
That's
because you
trick.
Made note of Zuck doing his own speech. Or
why
needing someone to do his speeches.
Would Morey think that he needs to write speeches? He's not making speeches.
There's a chance this also comes from like the aftermath of the China thing, perhaps. I don't know.
There's some real grandiosity there, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I thought it was a sociopathic Zuck.
Yeah, yeah. There's a chance both are sociopaths here, Katie, I gotta say. You are now 3 for 8. We move on to the next one. This is, quote, "Our philosophy is that we care about people first."
Zuck.
That is Zuck, although it could have been neither. This does not seem to really fit the vibe of either one of them, but you are correct there. That is Mark Zuckerberg. You were 4 for 9. We move on to the next one. Quote, "The question isn't, what do we want to know about people? It's, quote, what do we want people to tell about themselves?"
That's Zuck.
That is Zuck. I thought I might trick you into thinking that's like a draft process interview question from Daryl Morey. But and I mean, I would not be surprised if he had said that before about the draft process. But that is, of course, Zuck about data mining, probably.
Mm-hmm.
You're at 500, Katie. You're 5 for 10.
Jeez.
Let's continue on. 2 quotes remaining. Quote, "My son the other day was looking and found a gray hair and started crying because he thought I was going to die. That's a true story. So I had to assure him that a couple gray hairs doesn't mean I'm going to die." Is that Maury or Zuck?
That's Zuck.
That is Daryl Maury facing his own mortality, not Mark Zuckerberg. Katie?
I guess I didn't know that. I know he has a daughter. I didn't know that he had a son.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know Mark Zuckerberg procreated at all.
Yeah,
kind of seems like a.
But his kids are pretty young to like be. I think to have to. I should have known. You know, like maybe too young for that concept.
Yeah, that's fair. I could not tell you who or how old Mark Zuckerberg's children are, so I would have been probably lost for this question myself. You're 5 of 11, Katie. You have a chance to pull out 500 with this one. Quote: "Unless you are breaking stuff, you are not moving fast enough."
That's Zuck.
That is Mark Zuckerberg with some weird-ass business boy brain shit.
Mm-hmm.
Again, easily could have been Daryl Morey. You saved it, Katie. You got that right. You're 6 of 12. You finish at 500, which I don't know what the bar for success in this game is, but this was a really tough round, so I think you did pretty well at acquitting yourself in Did Morey Say This? Any last parting thoughts on Morey or Zuckerberg before we move on?
I feel like if I had done better, I wouldn't. It would have shown more that I'm not a good person. So, like, I'm not morally bankrupt.
Yeah, that's fair. The 6 out of 12 is the exact correct score you're shooting for. either way, Katie, we are moving on to our posters of the week, our favorite segment as we close out the show with our favorite in the NBA from social media over the last 7 days. I am going with a regular appearer just because he's one of the players who I actively follow and keep up with on social media, but he posts a lot of good stuff. And we have a clip, I believe, that producer Dylan's going to queue up. It is Terrence Ross, who his lovely daughter Zoe walked in the room while he was playing a video game, and chaos ensued. Let's tune in.
My daughter got me sniped SMH.
Oh, I got drilled. Zoe, you got me killed. Yo, my daughter just got me sniped, bro. You don't even feel a way about it. I get you.
But yeah, Terrence Ross playing. His daughter comes in, all adorable, says, hi, daddy. And then he looks away to give her a hug, and he gets shot in the head in his video game and dies. It's pretty good stuff. Good fatherly stuff from Terrence Ross. Katie, who is your poster of the week?
I'm actually going to change mine from what I have in the document. It is J.R. Smith, who stepped on a beehive. Well, I think he was playing like one of his first competitive golf games, and he played through it.
That rocks.
But I just think the idea of stepping on a beehive while you're golfing, and also it being J.R. Smith, who's had such a wonderful time going back to school. Yeah, it's great. Also, he's like, he took it in stride, you could say.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely one of the stories I wish we were doing the podcast for to talk about in real time, because what a lovely story, J.R. Smith going back to school and playing golf. And
I mean, we can still talk really about it. The thing
Maybe
that we'll I want to stress to you is it we're just not like
I know.
A news, we're just not a news show.
Know,
you can still talk about things that have
it's
happened.
I know. I'm getting used to it. Maybe we'll get someone from the school he's at on the show to give a real update on what J.R. Smith's doing in a deep dive interview. Maybe we'll get J.R. Smith himself. I'm not going to promise that, but we'll try. But yeah, that is a thing that my like newsy brain needs to get out of my newsy brain, is that this is not a news podcast. We are talking about whatever the hell we want each week, Katie. Which, with that reminder of what is to come, we can leave today's episode behind us. Huge thank you to everyone for listening, and of course to our Patreon subscribers. It's lovely to be back with you doing the show each week. Katie, anything that you would like to promote as we wrap up the show here?
No, about a million things on the go, but I think, why don't I plug Basketball Feelings is a website now, basketballfeelings.com. You can subscribe to the newsletter, which is free, but as of October 19th, I'm going to be adding a paid option. I'll be adding a small, short in newsletter podcast for paid subscribers, plus some other extras, whether that's like interviews with players from games or, you know, some other extra content. I'll also be adding that for paid subscribers too. But if you just want the newsletter and are already subscribed, you don't have to worry about anything.
Wonderful. You should go subscribe for sure. I will be firing up the subscription very soon here, Katie. I keep forgetting, but I will give you my money, I promise. That's where we're going to leave it for today. You can find my stuff, of course, Locked On Raptors every single day, covering the lead up to the Raptors season here. Lots of fun guests on the way, including our old friend Alan Shane Lewis, along with Ann Pornell, the two hosts of the Great Canadian Baking Show. They're going to be on the podcast on Monday. I've got Herbie Kuhn, the PA voice of the Toronto Raptors for the last 27 years or whatever it is now. He is going to be on the podcast on Friday. It's a really great time, so I highly recommend you subscribe to that show. It's on YouTube now as well. If you want to subscribe to the YouTube page, it's always appreciated to get those extra subscribers. And I'll have blogs at Raptors HQ about the Raptors throughout the season as well. Again, Patreon page, patreon.com/lbasketball with two H's. Please sign up if you would like to support us. We very much appreciate that. And as always, a huge thank you to producer Dylan, giving us wonderful clips all throughout the show. We love producer Dylan. He makes us sound so good. We're so glad to be back working with Dylan and the entire crew over at Space Monkey Media. With that, we will talk to you again next week with another episode of Basketball?